How I Live Now. The balcony cliffs lay empty when we returned. We came in cautious, prepared to drive intruders out, but the bears had left and everyone else had been too scared to move in. The moored proxies had destroyed so much, but what set us falling to the floor laughing was that at first we could not tell the parts they had destroyed from the parts they had left alone, except by the sign of their droppings. So many holes punched in walls by Bourne. Seeing the balcony cliffs with fresh eyes, we realized we had lived in a tidied-up shithole that needed a more thorough airing than we had ever given it.
"What now, Rachel?" Wick asked me. "What do we do now?"
"Whatever we want to do," I said. So we set to work. Wick has never been the same physically, although he has some good days. The left side of his body has seized up, and his left arm doesn't work right. His skin never became pale again, but is crisscrossed with black vein lines. He sometimes has a distant look, as if listening to music I cannot hear. But most of the time, he is not lost in fugue or memory, or wherever he goes during those episodes. We live, we stand by each other and make do with what we have. He fixed his swimming pool, still makes biotech, found ways to create his medicine before reaching the fourth month and the last Nautilus pill. I never told Wick I killed the magician. She just never came back. If Wick could carry the heavy burden of his secret for so long, then I could hold on to mine and not burden him with it. Nor did I tell Wick that I knew his secret, his final secret. We never talked about his letter, although he must know that I read it. To be together, Wick and I needed some secrets from each other and some things we could not talk about. The talking was the trap. The things we say to each other, thinking they are so important to say and yet later regret, that become a part of you no matter how hard you push them away, even as you can't stop thinking about them. I prefer the old betrayals, the ones based on trust. My presence beside him tells him all he needs to know, and no matter what else he has done in his life, Wick has never killed anyone with a rock. Nor does Wick sell memories anymore. Wick never believed he was a person, was continually being undone by that. Bourne was always trying to be a person because I wanted him to be one, because he thought that was right. We all just want to be people, and none of us know what that really means. Early on, I had thought Wick was reaching for a body across the bed, but for a long time, he had been reaching for me, for the person called Rachel, who did indeed, in the end, love back the person named Wick. Life is still hard, but it is fair, and there is more joy in it that doesn't feast on heartbreak. There are also territories not worth holding on to, traps not worth setting. Other people live at the balcony cliffs with us now. Other faces stare at me when I walk these corridors. Most of them we invited in, and many are children with no place to go. We do not ask anything of them except that they scavenge what they can and help maintain the balcony cliffs. Wick creates things for the children, bits of biotech from odds and ends that make them laugh or astonish them. I like to watch Wick at play. I like to hear the children laugh. It is so much better than a fancy restaurant. It is more like the botanical garden on the island. It is almost like that. Teams is one of the boys here, and the closest to being my child. I had the fantasy of finding the girl, the leader, and raising her as my own, but I never found her. Instead, I found Teams, and I took him in. He was the first. Teams is just an ordinary boy who likes playing catch and hates vegetables and reads my collection of books when I make him. Teams doesn't mind roughhousing in the mud, and the stubborn set to his jaw always makes him look as if he is objecting to something. But his eyes are large and wide, and they take in everything, do not miss the smallest detail. He is honest and respectful, and he has honor and courage as he is able. I teach him only the useful things, the hopeful things. I teach him to be both the things I am and the things I can never be. I am sure Teams thinks of me, of Wick, as old, as people who are too generous and not hardened enough, people who can no longer see the traps. But did we ever really see them? And we have had our adventures, Wick and I. We have had all the adventures one lifetime could endure, and it is fine that no one knows but us, that Wick and I hold on to those secrets together. There is so little of this account that anyone else in the city would understand or believe, and so little of it they need to understand. I have only one thing left to tell, how, on a sunny gunmetal day, not long after we returned to the balcony cliffs, I went searching, as any scavenger would, near the place in the city where Bourne and Mord had disappeared. There, I found Bourne again. I picked him out of the rubble. I brushed him off. He was weak, tiny, as small as the first time I found him. But it was him. He smelled like the ocean of my youth, the sea salt and the surf and the seaweed, but he might have smelled different to someone else. I gathered Bourne up as good salvage, and I took him back to the balcony cliffs. He did not speak, could not speak, but I felt as if he were still there, inside. He had killed so many people. He had done terrible things despite not wanting to do them. We had all done terrible things. I put him on our balcony, right where Wick could see him, and promised myself that if Bourne ever grew, if he ever spoke, I would end him. That if Wick wanted to take him, Wick should take him and use him for parts. But none of those things happened. Wick did not take him. Bourne did not move on his own. He was just a kind of plant, taking sustenance from the sun. Bourne never spoke again, although I spoke to him, and maybe I wished he could respond, but only a little. A lingering doubt, a lingering need, and I think you can forgive me that, at least. We sit on the balcony on the good days, Wick and I, and we hold hands and look out at the light on the river at dusk. To those who know me so many years later, I am just a middle-aged woman who lives in the balcony cliffs and takes care of children. A person who they see sometimes, high above a river that is not as polluted as before. A river that one day may be truly beautiful.
This concludes the reading of Bourne by Jeff Vandermeer. Copyright 2017 by Vandermeer Creative Incorporated. This book was read by Bonnie Turpin. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Ferrer, Strauss & Giroux, LLC, and was produced in 2017 by Blackstone Audio, Inc., which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.